You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, Bethel. And he is good every morning. He is good every evening. He's good all the time. Main point, we're going to jump right into it. The good news or the gospel that Jesus proclaimed is not just a ticket to heaven, and it's not just escape from the punishment of sin. It is also freedom, freedom from that which holds us in bondage, and heart healing of that which causes us such pain and distress. Forgiveness is only half of the gospel. Progressive transformation of our life and character is the other half. The mental, emotional, spiritual, and in some cases even the physical wounds that we carry can be healed and we can be free. That is the good news. That's the good news that every disciple of Jesus is called to live. It's the good news that every disciple of Jesus is called to move forward to. And it's the good news that we're to give to others. We're going to look at some scripture, Matthew 4, 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then again in Matthew 9, very similar, Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And then Matthew adds, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. Now, normally we stop there because that's the end of the chapter. In the original manuscript, there was not a chapter break. And so, actually, the thought continues. After Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers, he then called his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. In Matthew 10:5, these 12 he sent out, and he gave them instructions. We're going to jump over to the last chapter, chapter 28. Where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, go, which can also be translated as you are going. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. In these verses, we see Jesus compassionately teaching, proclaiming good news, and driving out impure or evil spirits and healing people. We also see him giving this authority and power to his disciples to do the same. And we see him commissioning those disciples to make more disciples or workers who will in turn do the same. But what's at the heart of all of this? It is the compassion of Jesus for the crowds. The crowds that are harassed and helpless and are in as much danger as sheep without a shepherd. There are so many in that condition that it's going to take more workers with the authority and power of Jesus to really help all who need to be helped. And Bethel, that includes all of us. So what is the good news and why is it good news? As I said, it's more than just a ticket to heaven where we mistakenly think that we're going to lounge on clouds and play harps. I mean, really? How boring does that sound? The good news is much more practical and exciting than that. It is the transformation of our lives into the very likeness of Jesus. It is experiencing and manifesting in our entire being what is called the fruit of His Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. The good news is that we can become all of that. The good news is that we can be progressively set free from the emotional and spiritual baggage that holds all of us in some sort of bondage, and we can have our hearts healed of the emotional and spiritual wounds of the past that cause us so much pain in the present. All of us want to be more loving. We want to be more joyful. We want to be more peaceful, patient, gentle, humble, self-controlled. And in that sense, we want to be more like Jesus. But what keeps us from that? First of all, heart wounds. The heart wounds we have received in life and the lies we have believed as a result of those wounds keep us from experiencing the fruit of the Spirit and keep us from becoming more like Jesus. Our past is not in the past until we deal with it. Dealing with the past usually means replacing lies that we have believed about who God is, lies we've believed about who we are, and lies we have believed about how life works. Progressively replacing those lies with the truth that sets us free. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Lies that we believe about our wounded past keep us powerless, helpless, and not moving forward. Transformation comes from exchanging lies for truth. Most of us want a quick fix, but exchanging lies for truth is actually a process. Because something happened to me in my past, it does not have to define who I am in the present. It is not what happened to me that is at the root of my present pain. It is what I have believed about God, myself, and others that holds that pain in place. What I believe about what happened holds me in bondage to the past. Transformation and heart healing come from hearing the truth, and when it is spoken by the quieting voice of Jesus, it sticks. We are emotionally healed and our lives are changed. I know a young lady who is about the same height I am. She weighs 110 pounds. And every time she speaks, she says, "I'm fat." Now, everybody who sees her knows that that's not true. But because of a wound in her past, she has believed that lie. And that lie keeps her in the bondage of anorexia and bulimia. It's only the truth spoken to her heart by the person of Jesus that will free her. In the passages that we read, Jesus is speaking to disciples and he commissions them to make or reproduce more disciples. Let me give you what I think is a biblical definition of a disciple. A disciple is one who is thinking, talking, and acting more like Jesus every day that he or she lives. I'll repeat that. A disciple is one who is thinking, talking, and acting more like Jesus every day that he or she lives. Is that happening in my life? Is that happening in your life? Are we disciples of Jesus? Well, here's the key to seeing that happen. In order to be a disciple, we must first be freed and healed of those things that cause us not to think, talk, and act like Jesus. The crowds, and that's most of the world, is harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They are not thinking, talking, and acting like Jesus. They are not experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control in their lives. And neither do most of us. Harassed is defined as being strained through too many demands, being subject to aggressive pressure or intimidation, suffering repeated small-scale attacks. You know, where's that coming from? helpless. Helpless is defined as being unable to defend oneself, being powerless. Where is that coming from? There's not a lot of love, joy, and peace in harassment and helplessness. Jesus then gives his disciples the authority and power to do what he was doing, and that is to deal with impure or evil spirits that were harassing the crowds. And he also gives him the authority and power to heal those who are helpless of their disease and pain. So what else can move us toward being more loving, joyful, and peaceful? Believe it or not, the work of our enemy through impure or evil spirits can keep us from experiencing that. And hold on, I know some of you, let's talk a little bit about authority and power. The authority and power that Jesus gives his disciples over the work of the enemy. Authority is best defined as the right to rule. And in this case, it's the right to rule over impure spirits that are causing the issues the crowds were facing. Power is the ability to accomplish what needs to be done. That is to bring freedom and healing to the harassed and helpless. The authority is delegated by Jesus to all of his disciples. And the power is from the Holy Spirit who lives in them. When I speak of authority as the right to rule over impure spirits, I'm sure that some of you know what I'm talking about, but others may not. The angelic realm is very real. We do not often see spirits with our physical eyes, but we can see their effects upon the natural world. An example of this was a seminary professor who, though he knew his Bible, had some questions about the spiritual realm. He was invited to Africa for a couple of weeks, and he stood up to speak to a group. And as he was speaking, a lady in the middle of the crowd levitated into the air, floated across the heads of the people, and came down outside the group. Seminary professor said, somewhere between the time she got up and came down, my paradigm of what is reality completely changed. Just because we've not seen or experienced something does not mean that it does not exist or is not possible. Well over 85% of the world knows that spirits exist, but they do not know how to deal with them. They do not have the authority or power to deal with them. If you've not yet experienced or recognized the work of spirits, you may question their existence, much like my wife and I did the first 3 years that we were in France. We experienced mental, emotional, and physical harassment for which there seemed to be no natural scientific explanation or resolution. We felt helpless and powerless until we recognized the spiritual nature of our issues and began to use the authority and power that every disciple of Jesus has at his or her disposal. Since then, which was 1987, we've grown to recognize in our own lives and in the lives of hundreds of others the schemes of spirits, which include accusation, intimidation, deception, harassment, suppression, and oppression. The Apostle Paul said that we should not be ignorant of these schemes, which are used to hold both believers and those who are not yet believers in bondage, and actually can make a person very sick physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. On occasion, these spirits do manifest themselves so as to be seen by the physical eye. One example of this was a local pastor who came to my office here at Bethel and said, Bill, I came to you because I know you'll believe me. 1 week ago, an 8-foot-tall dark demon appeared to me in my church office and told me that he was going to torture me out of ministry. I said, what did you do? He said, I didn't do anything. I was scared to death. And I explained to him that that's exactly what the spirit wanted to happen. He wanted to intimidate you. So we talked about his authority and power as a disciple of Jesus. We looked at some things in his life that needed to be dealt with, and boom, the problem was solved. Another form of manifestation could be that another form that spirits could manifest themselves in is that through recurring nightmares or what are called night terrors. A number of missionary kids experience these because the enemy is not able to get to the parents, so they attack the children. And I personally suffered from night terrors for 35 years, 20 years as a believer, until, as I said, I was in France and learned how to deal with this. All of this is spoken of in the Bible, but it is also supported and documented clinically by missionaries, anthropologists, and counselors. Jesus said that the harvest of harassed and helpless people is plentiful. The workers are few. Workers are those who teach, proclaim, bring freedom and heart healing, as Jesus did. We are told to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers like this. These workers are disciples of Jesus, and we who are disciples have a role in making more disciples. Going to Matthew 28, 19 and 20 again. The only imperative or command in this passage is make disciples. Go, teaching, baptizing are all participles which serve to modify the command to make disciples. As I said, go in this verse could be well translated as you are going. As you're going throughout Mishawaka, as you're going throughout Indiana, the USA, Europe, Africa, Asia. Or as you are going to class, make disciples. As you're going to your dorm, make disciples. As you're going to the gym, to the DC, to the athletic field. Everywhere you go, make disciples. Again, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who is thinking, talking, and acting more and more like Jesus every day that he or she lives. In order to be a disciple, we must be freed and healed of those things that cause us not to think, talk, and act like Jesus. In Luke chapter 3 and 4, after his water baptism and the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus like a dove, it says that full of the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil, after which he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up and on the Sabbath went into the synagogue. When he stood up to read, he was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he read the following. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, the year of the Lord's favor and the day of justice of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Now, Jesus spoke this right at the beginning of his three-year ministry, and it serves as a platform for what he is going to do and accomplish. This is what his ministry is going to be all about. We can see why this is called good news. How many people do you know, and that could include yourself, who are afflicted, brokenhearted, captive, prisoners to pain that is coming from the past, oppressed, harassed by the spiritual forces of wickedness, hopeless and helpless because of the lies that they have believed about God, self, and others, captive to performance-based spirituality or to the labels that have been put on them by what other people think, captives to the pain that drives their addictions to substance abuse, porn, self-harm, or obsessive and compulsive habits, blinded, living in darkness, not physical darkness, but mental, emotional, spiritual darkness, blinded to the truth that can set them free, brokenhearted, in need of God's favor and love, needing God to smile upon their lives and bring healing and joy to replace the grief, sorrow, depression. I've lived long enough to know that if you scratch the surface of people's lives, no matter who they are or where they live in the world, this is what you'll find. This was and still is to a certain degree true of my own life. I know that it's true of your life, that of your family, that of your friends. Having ministered here in the U.S., France, South Africa, Asia, I've seen people everywhere who are oppressed, harassed, in bondage, and need to be freed. They're brokenhearted, fearful, bitter, angry, anxious, sad, despairing, and in pain, and they need heart healing. In Acts 26:18, the Apostle Paul understood this when the Lord spoke to him and told him that he was sending him out and he was to go and open people's eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus. Notice there's both forgiveness and sanctification here, the two parts, the two halves of the gospel. Sanctification is the process of being freed and healed of all that keeps us from thinking, talking, and acting like Jesus. And the good news is that is possible. All of us need emotional or heart healing, and we may also need to learn how to use our authority in Christ to find freedom from accusations, intimidations, deceptions, and harassment that come from the spiritual realm. We can personally connect with the wonderful counselor and allow him to speak truth to our heart, which will set us free from the lies that are causing us so much pain. And we can appropriate the authority and power of Christ to find real freedom from our baggage and our bondage. This is the mission of every disciple of Jesus, to bring freedom and healing to a world that is broken, in bondage, and very sick. This ministry is not based on any type of spiritual gifting or on the emotional or spiritual maturity of the individual. Every disciple of Jesus is called to this mission. Every disciple of Jesus has been given this authority in Christ and the power through the Holy Spirit. If we follow Jesus, we are missionaries. One last story here before we close. I had two students come to my office. One was Asian background. And the presenting problem for the Asian background student was that he had obsessive compulsive hand washing, had a hard time relating to people, was kind of withdrawn, and he wanted to be free. So we began to look at his history. His parents were Buddhists. He was the first believer in his family. So we dealt with some things there. He had also been involved in some occult, so we dealt with some issues there in his life. And I simply asked him to pray and ask the Lord to bring to mind any lies he might be believing. He prayed and he sat there quietly for a while. And then all of a sudden he said, AIDS, which kind of shocked me, surprised me. And I said, AIDS? He said, yeah, that's what the Lord brought to mind. I said, well, what do you believe about AIDS? He said, well, it's a very dangerous disease. How do you get AIDS? He said, well, just through social contact with people. Now, I knew that wasn't true, but I sent him back to the Lord. I said, why don't you just pray and ask the Lord about that? And I'm so thankful. The Lord spoke to his heart and said, yeah, that's not how you get AIDS. I explained to him the details of that, how that happens. And you might think, man, what a stupid lie for a university student to believe. I mean, shouldn't he know better? But in reality, he didn't. And that lie had kept him in bondage. He walked out of my office totally free. The obsessive compulsive hand washing stopped. He became very sociable to the point where he became a resident assistant here at Bethel and had a tremendous ministry. And I believe to this day that had the truth not been had that lie not been replaced with the truth, he would still be in bondage. Is this something you want for yourself, your family, your friends, and your world? The good news is that the Lord Jesus has the authority and power to bring real freedom and heart healing to our lives and the lives of those around us. Our desire is to see that happen. Over the last 11 years, the Lord has allowed my wife and I to help over 1,500 students, faculty, and staff, and others from the community find real freedom and heart healing. We've also coached and trained a number of them to do the same. Along with us, there are faculty and staff on this campus who can help you through this process. In an attitude of prayer, and as a response to what I've just shared, I invite you to please take out your phone. This will only take us a couple of minutes, and then I'll pray and you'll be dismissed. But once your phone is out and on, go to your email app. And then if you would, type my address, bill.jones@betheluniversity.edu. And then simply in the subject line, put a 1, a 2, or a 3, and I'll explain that. Put a 1 if you want to know more about how to experience freedom and heart healing in your personal life. Put a 2 if you want to learn how to be a worker in the harvest and be trained to help others find freedom and heart healing. And then put a 3 if you want both help for yourself and training to help others. I'm going to repeat those. A 1 if you want to know more about how to experience freedom and heart healing in your life. 2 if you'd like to be trained and coached to help others find freedom and healing. And then 3 if you'd like both. Just take one more minute here, give you an opportunity to do that. Father, thank you for your presence here with us. You said when two or more are gathered that you're there. Your presence with us is very real. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for your word. I remember the words of Jesus who said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your spirit is the spirit of truth who leads us into all truth. And Father, we ask today that not only would we find truth to replace the lies in our hearts, we would also understand that we have authority and power over the enemy and we can deal with him. Again, thank you today for your goodness to us. We thank you for what you will do as a result of our time together here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.